mezainis for 3,000 ships. Chaval, them is chaval. I didn't even think to bring. I have so much shachmanis. Okay, my rabbi. So tonight we will learn the nishmas, the chelik and the melech, and first we'll learn some shtiklach from the sefer, and then we will say over some stories. So Grada, one of my favorite shtiklach is a shtikl in Parsha Ksisisa, the Friedrich of Parsha, where the name of the melech teaches us about the menorah. The parts that's off at Kisisas Reish B'nai Yisrael. You shall lift up the head of B'nai Yisrael. And Naaman the Melech explains what that means. He says, the Gemara says that the Ner Maravi, there was the western candle on the menorah. It's a question exactly where it was, but we hold essentially was the second, the menorah was, we hold the menorah was organized, was lined up perpendicular to the peroches. It was, the whole menorah was lined up like the west is over there. The menorah was going sideways, so to speak, towards the west, perpendicular to the west. And the second candle, starting from the east, is called the Ner Maravi, the western candle. And the lush of the Gemara is that that is where you begin to light, and that is where you begin to clean up the menorah later on. Shemenuhu madlik, umenuhu meitiv. So the Heilige Noi Melech says that Chazal, our Maram is here, the Devarim HaKadoshim, on the Tzaddik, it was called Ner Maravi. Why would a Tzaddik be called Ner Maravi? Because Ma'arav means not merely west, it means Lashon Me'urav, to be totally mixed in, to be a composite, to be a collection, to be an eclectic collection of many talents, many midas taivas, and to be a person who is me'urev v'kolmini kedushas, ava v'yira, roimish al taira, tfila, tzedakah, tshuva, gemilas chasadim, taira, everything. So the tzad is called Ner Maravi because he is not just monolithic with one special attribute. The tzaddik is a conglomerate of many good things, and they're all integrated well in his personality. He has a very well-balanced, integrated personality. It is mu'rav, and it is also, he says, it's a lashon of arevus u'mesikus, because the tzaddik is therefore as zis. He is orov u'masuk the kol mini mesikus. A real tzaddik, because he is so multi-talented, and because he has developed all the facets of his personality, and they're all well blended, because sometimes people have certain milas and certain chesrinas, and their personality is off kilter, and they're not well balanced, and they have tired proportions. They have a great voice, but at the same time they're big balagaiva, and they're very cheap, they're very stingy, and other things. So what does help me? The great voice. And they're a great Mila. There are so many chesrinas that the Mila is out of kilter, and it's not nishtazoy geshmak. And when I see the flawed parts of his personality, I can't even enjoy the good parts. But the tzaddik is called a ner maravi. He is m'urav. He is a mixture of everything, and he's also very geshmak. So he says, that's the pshat, m'menuhu madlik, and m'menuhu meitiv. Such a tzaddik who is so well blended, number one, he memenu madlik, he is the one who kindles a fire and a passion in the hearts of other yidden to serve their Ribbono Shel Olam. When we see a tzaddik who's so gishmak, and we see that being close to Hashem, just looking at the tzaddik, being in the company of the tzaddik, kindles and is madlik, it ignites a fire of love for Avodas Hashem in our hearts. That's number one. And it's also meitiv in that the tzaddik brings down good hashpos down to this world. The tzaddik not merely lifts up our hearts, but he also brings down from Shemayim good things. So in other words, those of us who are on earth, us earthlings, the tzaddik lifts to a higher madrega. And that's Taka Ki Sisa is Reish B'nai Yisrael. That's where it fits in over here. The Tzaddik is Nosei, the heart of B'nai Yisrael. And also he says, Lipikudeya. Pikudeya means, Pekida means, really, Pekida means to think about somebody, to remember somebody. The Tzaddik does two things. Number one, the Tzaddik's Avoida is two-dimensional, and it goes in two opposite directions. One, the number of the Tzaddik brings the low, us low people up. He kindles our heart an ignition that makes a lift off from earth to heaven. And then he brings Hashpoz Tavis, the Pekudeyim. He has the Rabbanim to remember us. Hashem should remember us. Be poiked means Hashem takes care of us. And that's called Meitiv. He brings good stuff for us. It's a very beautiful concept. And with this, David Melech, I once explained the pshat in the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Gemara in Sukkah says that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, by the Simchas Beis Yosheva, his avoda was the Tana, the Halakha Nasi Yisrael, Shimon ben Gamliel. His avoda was he would first juggle 8 torches simultaneously, something that I don't think is possible in this day and age. And secondly, he would flip himself over and do a headstand on his thumbs. He would balance himself on his thumbs with his head down, and he could lower his mouth to kiss the earth. That was the second trick he did. So he did two tricks by the Simchas Beis Yosheva. Of course, it seems very out of character for a Gadol HaDor, but that doesn't bother us because that's what Simchas Beis Yosheva is all about. To be like David HaMelech, to show that in front of the Rabbanim Shlomo, my malchus means nothing. I have no heirs. But what does it mean? That he was juggling and doing this trick. So I believe it's mamish in consonance in the line with what the Naaman Melo said, that the Gadol HaDor has two functions. Number one, he's madlik. He lifts up the torch, the flame of love for Hashem and everybody. The juggling was throwing up the torches, bringing out Kisisa's Rosh B'nai Yisrael. And the second avoid is humeitiv. He brings down Hashpoz Taivis from up down and kisses the earth and brings Meshikas, that the Yishakeinu Meshikas Piyu, that the Rabbanu Shlom kisses us. Nu vuz Allah, Allah git the Zachen. What? Everything is ready. Fine. Okay. So the second thing is Meitiv, that he kisses the earth and brings Hashpoz Taivis down to this earth. And the other connection that is that there's the Vort of Shleim Kishviler, that when the Bells of the Rebbe, Reb Arla, Rekeach, came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1943, escaped from the Nazis, so immediately Reb Arla was a Malach Elikim, immediately attracted to himself a large following, and right away there was a Rebbe Shehoif, a whole court, and he started the yeshiva, and a koilo, and people with tutzach. And Reb Arla, the minute the bells came to Eretz Yisrael, it was a big show. And the Zhvila Rebbe, Reb Shleimke, he davka came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1920s. He davka says he threw his rebister into the water overboard. He davka did not travel rebister, but finally he was discovered. But he lived in a hovel in Beis Yisrael near the Mir Yeshiva. And he could hardly get a minion together. I used to travel on the buses alone without a gabbai. And his grandson asked him, Zaydech v'shteynisht, you know that you're just as big a tzaddik and the big Ovid Hashem, if not bigger than the Belzer Rebbe. You're a big man. And the Belzer Rebbe comes there as a soul, and right away, shine, the whole place is tumbling. And you're here for 20 years and you can barely put a minion together. He's a shayach. So v'shteynisht said, Gevaltik, he says, and B'chol dar v'dar, they have to be two tzaddikim. There's the tzaddik hador and the tzaddik yisayid oilam. The tzaddik hador is the tzaddik of the whole door. Everyone wants to see such a tzaddik, and they're inspired by him, and they're elevated by him. And there's the tzaddik yisayid oilam, that's fakir, the yisayid, the tzaddik who is the foundation of the earth, and the yisayid, the foundation, the deeper it is in the ground, the more firmly established the foundation is. He says, the Belzeruf, the Belzerebbe is the Tzaddik Hador. And that's why he's very meforsum. He is Mamash HaMalach. And you look at him, you hear about him, it's unbelievable, gives a Gevaltika. It Mamash ignites the hearts of Klai Yisrael. So that's why he's immediately popular. And I am Tzadik Yisoid Olam. And the Yisoid, the more hidden it is, the more tifafat rubbing in the ground it is, the better it is. I'm the Tzadik Yisoid Olam. That's why no one knows about me. And the emes is, that's Mamash Dabor of Noam Melech. That Tzadik has both functions. Tzadik is the Tzadik Ador. He ignites people's hearts. He's throwing the torches up. And the Tzadik is also Yisoid Olam, means he brings the Hashpoz from Shemayim deep down to earth, to the lowest of low people. He kisses the earth. Then it says every tzaddik is both. The Belzer Rebbe was Avada Tzaddik Ador and Tzaddik Yisoid Olam. And Reb Shlenk was also Tzaddik Ador and Tzaddik Yisoid Olam. But it means to say that by the Belzer Rebbe, was more, the emphasis is more on the Tzaddik Ador aspect. And by him, he said the emphasis is more on the Tzaddik Yisoid Olam aspect. But every tzaddik is both Bechinus, like the Noam Melam says. The reason I mention this is because this subject, every sefer, well, we learn Mari Naim Kesedra. I'm not even, okay, I didn't touch it tonight, but usually we learn Mari Naim, as you know, to mention Chach the Rebbe, the Mari Naim. The Mari Naim speaks seldom about this subject, about Tzadiki Ador. The Mari Naim is a whole different Mahalach. But the Noam Melech Fakir says he speaks to Seder about the importance of being Dovik and Tzadikim. And he speaks to Seder about different kinds of Tzadikim. So Lamashli says in Parshas Vayechi, he explains the difference between Ephraim and Asher. He says, "B'chol Yivorech Yisrael, Yisimchalim Ephraim and Asher." He says, "Because the ganze Welt, Ha'olam Tzarech Tamer LeBeis Minei Tzadikim." The Welt always has to have two kinds of Tzadikim. He says, "One Tzadik is Sheyach Shei Tamer Ba'olam Esel Yoyna, Ubi Yichudim La'Hisav Or Tamer Lamala, Lamala." You always need two kinds of tzaddikim. There's some tzaddikim who are davik b'Hashem, and they're in the olamos. They're out of this world, and their whole kavanah is just to bring more light in the higher, supernal worlds, and to bring more koyach in worlds that you and I don't even know exist. The other tzaddik is down to earth, and his tachlis is always thinking about what can I do to help Yidden? What can I do to improve people's lives? He's very down to earth, and he's into the bread and butter and the basics of Yiddishkeit. The same concept. The tzaddikim, their whole tachlis is high, and tzaddikim's whole tachlis is low. You have to have both. And Memele says you have to. That's the key of Oilam. The question is, what's the ikker? What's the ikker? So, listen to this, of only Adonai Melech, he says, Abshat. He says, Menashe, the Bechor of Yosef, what was he? He says, Menashe was up. Menashe has Madrega, Lala is Tamid, Madrega, La Madrega, had no Shaz de Lamhaza. Menashe means not to forget. He forgot about Lamhaza. Menashe was out of this world. He forgot there's a world. And Ephraim, who's the Tzoyer, the younger one, he Davke was down to earth, and he was helping Yosef at Tzadik. Yosef at Tzadik was down to earth. Food, money, tachlis, pranuse, geld, essen, fressen, pranuse, kalkule, this is Yosef. So Yosef's right hand man was Ephraim, and Menashe was flying in the Olamos. So Mela, the question now is, who's more chashuv? So this is machlokes Yosef and Yankif. Ibzisha, he says Yosef held that Menashe is dikir. He said dikir is Menashe, and therefore he took Menashe and he took Ephraim liyamin atzmai. He took Ephraim in his right hand. And he put Ephraim in his right hand, but he would be in the left hand of Yankov Avinu. Yosef's right, and he thought it would be the left hand of Yankov Avinu. Ephraim is in his right hand. He's my right hand man, but for Yankov Avinu, it'll be the left hand. Masha'enken, Menashe will be in Yosef's left hand. And but the Maisel will get the Iker from Yankov, he'll be Yankov's right hand. Because he held that the Iker is Menashe, because he's Oviv and Madreg is Gedolus. So he put him in the Amin Oviv. However, Yangevin didn't hold like that. Yangevin held Adarabba, the opposite, that Ephraim is the Tzoyer, and therefore he should get the bracha with Yankiv's Yamin. So he all the Iker, the Pula is the mative to the Dairus, and bring the Shef of bracha down to this world. There should be a Shpo of Rachmim, the Madreg of Ephraim. So therefore he said, Yankiv says to Yosef, Yodati b'ni Yodati. Meaning he said to Yosef, he says, Yodati b'ni. Meaning say, I know your Yediyah. I know what you're thinking. That Menashe is bigger than Ephraim. But Ulam Ochiv HaKotan, the Madrigasa Yigdom Emenu, the Zariya Maloya Goyim, the Ganze Welt will be full of the Ashpoah of the Ephraim. Dikir is the Ephraim. See, here's the Machlaikis. Here's the Machlaikis, very thing of Machlaikis. Yosef has Ephraim in his right hand, and he wants Yankov his left hand Ephraim. It's not Dikir. Because Ephraim's down to earth. And Menashe is in Yosef's left hand, but it'll be Yankov's right hand, because Dikir is high Madregas. Yankov switches hands. Yankov says, I put my right hand on Ephraim, because Ephraim is like you. And he's bringing down the Shefa to Klal Yisrael. And Menashe is very important, but that's not Dikir. Dikir is the Meitiv. Dikir is the Meitiv. Dikir is the Tzadik Yisrael Olam. But again, we see how Nehemiah the Melech was constantly talking with this Inyan that there are two types of Tzadikim, and we need both. And so it's just a question of which one is more important than the other. So he held that the Yankov Avinu held that Dikir is the second type of Tzadik. And in Parsha Vakudeh, Antika Parsha, again, the Nehemiah Melech speaks about two kinds of Tzadikim. It's a constant Shmuas, the Nehemiah Melech, two kinds of Tzadikim. He says again, this is Parsha, he says there's a Tzadik who, when he takes gifts from Yidden, Yidden have to support Tzadikim. Tzadikim are busy learning. Gemara says whoever is taking care of Klal Yisrael, learning Torah, teaching, b'mashpia, blessing, so it's a chiyuv that people support him. But the some tzaddikim, when they take from other people, the mekabel tzedakah, there's two madregas. He says there's three madregas. He'll stick to two. He says there's one tzaddik who has nothing for himself whatsoever. His whole tachlis of taking from people is that the people, it's for their good. He has absolutely no interest in himself, and he's only interested that by the people giving him, they have such a gewaltige schus, it'll go right back to them. It'll be right away reflected back on them. It'll bounce back on them. That tzaddik is called duchra. He's like a zocher. He's only interested in giving away. He gives out. He's active. He's giving away. The second tzaddik, he takes from other people. As kavan is also for himself, his own pranasa. That's called nukva. That's called the tzaddik. A nukva is like a nekev who takes, who accepts. And he explains that these two types of tzaddikim were in the Mishkan. He says, Kalisha Chachmas Leiv. And again, he explains that you have to have both. But here, Ithaka again brings out the idea that the Dukhra, who is entirely interested in just giving back the Klai Yisrael, has no kavanah for himself whatsoever, that's the highest Madrega, because he only wants to give back the Klai Yisrael. The Yisad of a Tzadik is, he takes, but that's what's called the Mishkan, he said. Mishkan is Lashon HaMshacha, that the Tzadik, the Kabbalah, that Tzadik, his whole interest in taking from people is, that through him, by them giving to him, they're connected to him, and that way he can be mamshich, he can extract and extrude from Shemayim more bracha downward. So again, the recurrent theme in the Neimli Melech, three times we see that the tzaddik is madlik, and the tzaddik is meitiv, is tachlis is to be meitiv, to bring Hashpoah's taivas down to Klai Yisrael. And we mentioned by Shalosh Shudas already, what he says in Parshas Bekudei, actually in Paris Kisisa, but it's in the name of Paris Bekudei. In the Friedrich Parsha, Paris Kisisa, Hashem said to Moshe, but Luchas Psalacha, meaning the Psoiles of the Luchas is yours. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that under his feet, in his tent, will be the quarry for the sapphire stone from which Moshe will cut out the external form of the second Luchas. The first Lucas Hashem made in Ganson. The second Lucas Moshe cut it out and it was right under his feet. To teach you whatever you need in life is right there under your nose. You don't have to go searching. You don't have to go to Taiwan. You don't have to go to China. It's right here under your nose. What's the darst? It's right here under your nose. And Hashem said to him, Salacha. So the Gemara says that Mizen is Asha Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu got rich from the Psailish of Aluchas. What's the pshat? How did he get rich? It says the Psailish really means upfall. Psailish means waste. Psailish is waste. Mizen is Asha Moshe. Moshe got rich from the fact that the chips, the sapphire chips, were his. But to him, you know what this was? It was Psailish. It was worthless to him. It means nothing to him. From the fact that money means nothing but to Moshe Rabbeinu, they say he got rich. Because the biggest wealth is echdar garnish, they don't need anything. And all the ganzer lemhazav by me is psoilus, it's upfall. It's garnish verit. So the fact that, because I mentioned, Rashi says in last week's parasha, that Moshe Nisasher, from the psoilus shalukas, Moshe Nisasher, Rashi has a word, Mizen Nisasher Moshe Harbe. Moshe got very rich. Why did Moshe need so much money for? He might have his kids off. What do you need for? He used to buy apartments in Israel, what did he buy houses in Muncie? Was not Moshe does feel guilt? It's Hasha Harbe. Moshe needs so much money. What do you need money for? Teretz says, wealth is a Zawasher. Samea Bechelka. By him, it was Psylus. The wealth he got was Psylucha. It was Psylus. This is like Psylus to him. It meant nothing to him. And that's why he got very rich. That was his wealth. So to Moshe Rabbeinu, called Oishre Shirah, and other Rabba, he was very happy. If I can't, Moshe uses his wealth as Nami Melech to give it to Klai Yisrael. The hashpah of wealth he had, he was mamshech the Klai Yisrael, and that was his biggest pleasure. His biggest pleasure was that the Klai Yisrael should be wealthy, that the psoilus went to them. For himself, it was psoilus. Even though the tzaddik feels all this stuff is psoilus, for me, it's psoilus. It stares my avoida. Chavetz Chaim just had the plank bench. For other people, they gave him brachas for Hashiras. Chavetz Chaim, plank. I told you the story that his grandchildren say over that his son-in-law, Rav Mendel Zaks, once, Talmidim from the Yeshiva, Mendel Zaks lived in the Chavetz Chaim's log cabin, and once the Mendel Zaks decided that that's pastish. The Bacham come and speak and learning with him. They sit at the table. The table's a zap, trust the table, just the planks. And the bench, there's no chairs, it's just a plank on some pieces of wood, and no back. A bench. How much a bench, like in camp? A bench. A coarse, crude bench. So Mendel Zaks went out and ordered 12 nice upholstered chairs to be around the Chavetz Chaim's table. Bachram comes to speak of learning, you light, Rabbanim comes to visit the Chavetz Chaim, should be nice. Put some chairs in the other rooms, in the bedroom, 12 chairs. Chavetz Chaim comes in, and he's in a state of shock. Shock! 12 upholstered chairs, among my simple hut? 12? Maybe one for the Balabayas. Okay, one I can understand. Maybe another one for a guest, a chush of a guest. But 12? He started crying. He said, V'yishteit nen deparz b'shalach, en Hashem shalem, v'nakise shalem, until yamoicha zeichra molek. The Rebbein Shalom is banking on Shemayim. Hashem's throne is nishgans. Hashem is sitting on a bench, on a stool. Hashem's throne doesn't have a back. Hashem's throne doesn't have two arms to it. It's not an upholstered armchair. In Hashem Shalem, in Akise Shalem, Achimach Zech HaMolek, and I should sit on an upholstered chairs with two arms? Can't sign. He couldn't, he just couldn't fathom it. He had him send the back, he couldn't. The kids are so, that's for himself in his own house. But for my house, it's can't sign. The Lamed Melech, just a few more little things on Lamed Melech. I'll tell you two more things. I might have mentioned some of them by Shalosh Shudis. The Noam HaMelech in Parsha Shmois says he is soit that Grada, he says there to be a tzaddik, one tzaddik who would cry and krechts over Shchintli B'galusa, and we have no concern for his own personal deficiency and lack, and he would only think about the Shchintli B'galusa. That's all you think about. Then Avada. The Vadai Hoyinu Negolim Miyad. It would be over. And built the Yavshir. If he would, but Achi Basra Nachnu, who built the Yavshir Lizba Lana Tzoresenu Machivenu, Lachin Orch Lano Yavim, Babaneno Rabim, Begol Samar, Machmish Onu Mishtatin Tzarenu Tzarashkina, from the Choshim Al Tzarenu, Vilay Tzadik Echot, Kanirli, Kaniskaliel, Hayamatzlos Kaloidom Kumagos, so if he had Tzadik, who could think only of one thing, Nebuch, 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 God is homeless. You'd imagine that your own parent is homeless. Think of your mother or father who's sleeping. You know, I get onto the ramp to going to Washington Bridge. There's always a homeless guy there under the, one of the arches of the bridge over there. There's a homeless guy. There's a lot of homeless people. You go to Manhattan, lots of. There's one place there. It's like on a slope. I was going there once, it was raining. I said, it's the rain. And all the rain is gushing down into this guy's cardboard box. And he's, I can't live like this. He's like under this arch, and the rain's gushing down. And a leptazoy. So you can imagine that your wonderful father is living homeless under the Washington Bridge in a cardboard box. It would be very painful. And the Shechina has bigger tzar. The Rebbein Shalom, thrown out of the Beis HaMikdash, in Golus, he doesn't sleep the same place every night, the Shechina Kaviyachal. He goes to a different Yiddish Gila every night. The Shechina has no rest for 2,000 years. There's tzar over us. If a Yid would feel so bad for the Shechina, like we would feel for ourselves if we're homeless, says that the Nani Melech, we'd vadai have the gula instantly. But unfortunately, he says, we're flesh and blood, and there's not, it just doesn't happen. There's nobody here, well, not the Baal Shem Tov, no one did it twice. Not the Rambam, and not Rashi, and not the Chavetz Chaim. Nobody did it. There's only one person who have total tzar just for the Shechina, nothing but the Shechina. The Mashiach L'Shem Gekum and Gleich. In the same, almost the same breath, he says, Yisoid, that if you want to know a simen, Toiv, simen toiv l'adam, Gishu Shemeya Mesapim Memailas Tzadikim V'Avidosam B'Kodesh L'Shmai Yisbarach. A good sign for a person to know if you're a good the Yiddish Oved Hashem, when you hear stories of tzaddikim, have Oved Hashem, Bemes, and every time you hear such a story, Libay Choshek Umislai Moid Moid Moid, Shiyiski Gam Hu Lava Hashem is Bar Bemes, Zeu Simen Toiv Shashem Imoy Vezed Dvar Hashem. He says, if you hear tzavur tzaddikim, and you want, you mamish, not pshat, you're inspired. You say, I wish I could serve Hashem like that tzaddik serves Hashem. That's a sign that you're on the right derech, and you're in the right way, and you're doing the ratzon Hashem. That's good. So, ois, in libcha, boyer, mislaiv, avodas yisparach. And actually, this is mamish, kamat, word for word, what the Heilig HaKadosh's lady said, which we learned in Parashas Mishpatim a few weeks ago. Because we mentioned the Kadosh's lady, the end of Mishpatim, the last words are, Umare kvayd Hashem ke'eisha chelos b'reishahor leinib ne'eschol zok the Kedush Levi. If you want to know Umare kvayd Hashem, if you want to know if Hashem has any respect for your avoida, that you're on the right derech, Umare kvayd Hashem ke'eisha chelos b'reishahor. If you're consumed by a passion and a fire to climb the mountain, to get closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom, to climb to New Madregas, and you're consumed, mamash, you have a fire. Mamash, a fire burns you up to serve Hashem, to go on top of the mountain. That, Leinei Kol Yisrael, that's a sign for all Yidden, in front of their eyes, where they're holding. If you have a passion to serve Hashem, you're kochin. As is kochzach. If it's cold, it's bad. Of is kochzach, then it's a simon that the Rebbeinu Shlom has respect for your avoida. He likes your avoida, that's why he puts more passion into your avoida. There's a lot more, but let me just share with you. This is the Torah. Of course, we should be learning a lot of things tonight because we should sit and learn the Tzetel Katan tonight. We should learn the Halachas Adam tonight. Also, the Heilig Nami Melech. We should learn the Tefillah Kodem, the Tefillah Nami Melech. We should do a lot of things. Hey, we will. I'll see if you don't fall asleep on me. We might. Yankiv Yezer is a big suda for us downstairs. Yeah, what do you have? Kugel. What's happening? Fish and kiggle. So, okay. So, it's try to stay up, right? Okay, fine. So, a few words about Noyelim and Melech. So David Melech was nifter on Chaf Aleph Ador in Tav Kuf Mem Vav, 1786. Some say 87, but Mustama is 86. And I suspect that Kamat, there's more mises about him than Kamat any one of the tzaddikim. And the Neiman Melech was the third door, shall we say, from the Baal Shem. Baal Shem was nifter in 1760, and the Grace of Magi was nifter in 1773, maybe a little later. And the Neiman Melech was his Talmud. And some say that after the Grace of Magi died, there should have been one Manig of Chassidus. Some say it should be the Moranayim. Unzerev the Moranayim. Some say it should be the Neiman Melech, but Lamais, Chassidus was split up after that, and there were different Gedalim with different countries. So Neiman Melech took over Galicia. Lamais, he was in Galus, though. He wasn't born a Chassid. No one was born a Chassid. And he didn't get to the Grace of Magad, the Rebbe Rebbeir, right away. And Fakir, he and his brother Abzisha, again, I'm not 100% sure. It seems to me that they went to Galus. They started going to their 9-year Galus, even before they met the Maggids. Because in those days, it was a very common thing for tzaddikim to go into Galus. The Vilna Gaon went into Galus. The Shagasari went into Galus. Homeless Daka, if you want to feel Shinta Begalusa, if you go into Galus yourself, it makes it a lot easier. When we're sleeping on our Duxiana beds, in our, and we're going to the Yoti Jacuzzi before you go to sleep, and the sauna when you get up. That's not even a luxury today, that's like basic entitlement. Everyone's entitled to their ducks, shiva ducks. I mean, we're entitled to everything today. We're entitled to regal tables, nishnar mal, with 12 upholstered chairs, 20 upholstered chairs, chandeliers. This is for push the mention. I think every marina married away has this. Every is this bullshit. I mean, we're all entitled to everything. Swimming pool in the backyard, and 2 or 3 SUVs in the garage. Come on, this is basic. So, Shchinta Begalusa, it's getting to 11, I should get my SUV, should be with the latest GPS. So it's going to get a GPS, it has to be a GPS that I can talk to and talk back to me in 3 languages. So, you know, I want this is Dvarim Pshutim. But if you want to feel Shchinta Begalusa, if you go into Galus for 9 years, you might start getting the idea. Hi, Veitzin, it's Mamash Veitzin. We think we're doing good with our soft, cushy beds, the sleepies. Yeah, the joke is on us. We come to Shemayim to laugh at us, you idiots, what you are. You, Mishugoyim, what you are. Drunk with Olam Hazeh. Intoxicated Olam Hazeh. You're the yacht and you build these big castles for yourself. What do you think you are anyway? Parents and grandparents were in Auschwitz wearing pajamas in the bunkers, and you're going around, you're some machtach, as a grace, like you think you're a grace of pirates. Ah, there's an abandoned yacht, and that's what we are. The kids, the smart people went to Galus, Olam Hazeh is nothing. They were looking for bizyonis, they were looking for nothing. They were looking for the Shechina Begalus. They didn't sleep in the same place 2 nights in a row. So the kids, they had the Gabzisha, Ben Melech went to Galus. And they were the grace of Madregas. I have a lot of stories I want to tell you. And the question is, where do we start? Okay. Let me tell you like this. It's hard to get my thoughts organized. There's so much to talk about. So Ebishter Elf and I should be able to tell you a few important things. I'll tell you some stories that might they're not even printed in Svarim. So, the story goes. The story goes that there was really a machlokes between the Rebbe Melech and Rebbe Zish. Rebbe Zish was older, and he died later than him, the Rebbe. He died around 1800. Rebbe Zish lived a much longer life. Rebbe Melech died maybe around 60 years old, and I said 1786. Rebbe Zish was older, and he lived longer. He lived at least till 1800. The Rebbe Zish and Rebbe Melech, when they were in Galus, so the whole week they went together, and they got the same bezyonis, but on Shabbos they had a chalukah deis. On Shabbos they separated, because Rebbe Melech used to like to go Shabbos to a rich person. Because he said on Shabbos, by a rich man, be Shabbos dek, we'll have proper food, asuda, zmiris, helich, aristocratic. So he was for Shabbos, he was for a very fancy Shabbos. And the Rebbe of Zisha Dafka went by the Aniyim. He Dafka did not go, but he went to the poorest he could find, because he was always looking for tzaddik in the storm. He was looking for helik at tzaddik and were hidden away, and he figured by the poor you'll find helik at tzaddikim. You're not going to find them with the cushy mattresses and the fancy chairs. So once the Abzisha went Shabbos outside the town looking for a poor schlepper, and he had the feeling that this particular house, it was a tzaddik nister. He's always looking for one of the lamas of tzaddikim. So meanwhile, when he came to the house, there's only the balabas, not the balabas. He went to the wife and said, I want to sleep here tonight. Can I sleep here for Shabbos? She said, no, no place to sleep. He said, says there's no food for Shabbos either. So Rebbe Zisha said, you know what? I'll sleep in the barn. I'll sleep outside. And I have my own food. I'll bring my own food. I want to be in this house for Shabbos. No, she could hardly say no. The husband, the poor pauper, came home. He's wearing shmatas mamish. He didn't say a word to Reb Zisha, ignored him. Shabbos Kodesh comes. Reb Zisha, they sit down to eat their little, poor little scrawny meal. Reb Zisha eats from his own little peckle. And he's waiting to see something holy from the balabayas. Friday night, garnished. Shabbos morning, garnished. Shalosh Shuvos, suddenly Reb Zisha finds himself like out of the house, in the middle of nowhere in the field. What happened? Where's the house? Where's the Shalosh Shuvos? Gone, I wasted all the Shabbos over here. And his mamash tzebrachim, he starts to cry. All he had was a little peckle in his hand with his leftover food. He sat down to eat Shalosh Shuvos, whatever he had, and he accomplished nothing. He's all alone. He didn't learn a thing, and he's out in the middle of nowhere. He was very tzebrachim. Suddenly, as he's crying, through his tears, he looks around, he sees a cave, not far away, with a big opening, and he follows his eyes and goes into the cave, and there, in deep in the bowels of the cave, he sees the balabas, the poor man, not wearing shmatas anymore, wearing white begadim, beautiful begadim, sitting at the head of a table, with the whole chavraya of tzaddik in the storm. And he's giving a shir, he's learning with them, and they're singing zemiras, and having a valdi shalosh shuvos. Reb Zisha has a tainug, a zafar, a nigga like never had in his life. Later, what's a Shabbos? He gazegens with this tzaddik nister. The tzaddik nister warns him and says, I'm warning you, don't be megala anybody what you saw here on Shabbos. Don't tell anybody. That's why I wasn't nice to you. This is a secret business here. Don't you dare reveal it to anybody. Okay, Sunday morning, the two Halakha brothers, Reb Zisha and Melech, meet each other. And Reb Melech sees from Reb Zisha's face that he's shining. Something's going on over here. So he asks, what's going on? So Reb Zisha doesn't want to answer. But Reb Melech says, please tell me, I never saw you like this. Your face is shining, it's radiant, it's luminescent. What's going on? So finally, Reb Zisha tells him the story, how he went to the Yid. And he tells them the story. Okay, very good. They kept on walking. They have to walk and walk. And that night, Sunday night, they slept in the Azam in the inn on the way. And the morning, Monday, they're walking weiter. And that Sunday night, one of the local nobility was sleeping in the same inn as these two Jews. And he lost his purse full of money. And right away he figured, oh, those Jews probably stole it. So Monday morning, they get up early to leave. He gets up later. He doesn't have his money. He gets on his wagon and runs after them. And he catches up. And for some reason, he looks at Reb Zisha and he says, he's the one. He takes Reb Zisha and ties him like that. It was a Zaman cruel thing they had in those days. They would tie somebody to the back of their wagons and start galloping off the wagon. You had to keep up with the wagon. A terrible, impossible thing. This is very, very common torture they did. He's traveling. While they're traveling like this, Reb Zisha has to run like a horse. Another wagon, another carriage, a fancy carriage, comes towards the first nobleman's carriage with Rabbi Yishai, and the two noblemen meet, they know each other, and the second nobleman is the first one, what's going on? You look very unhappy. He says, that Jew who I got tied up in the back behind my wagon, he stole my money from me. I'm torturing him now. Maybe he'll confess where he put the money. So the second nobleman says, let me look at his face. I know how to look at people's faces. I can tell who's for real or not. Second nobleman looks at Reb Zisha's face, looks him over and says, you know what? From his face I can see he's an honest man. Leave him alone. You're wasting your time. Go search elsewhere. Don't waste your time with him. Leave him go. So the first nobleman cuts the ropes, lets Reb Zisha go, and the second nobleman turns to Reb Zisha and gives him a wink and said, I warned you, you shouldn't go ahead and tell people about the tzaddik in the storm. Did I give you a warning not to tell anybody? Look what happened. This is your punishment. So now, but there's a sequel to the story. The sequel to the story is that in the end, the Velt says that there was a change of heart. There's a change of heart. There's a change of heart between the Rebbe of Melech and the Rebbe of Zisha. Yeah. Before they died, they changed. And each one decided the other one is right. In the end, Reb Melech decided that, you know, the best way to serve Hashem is to be with the poor people. And Reb Zisha decided the best way to serve Hashem is to be with the rich people. That's what they decided in the end. And therefore, Reb Melech davened the punis savor that he vinches on all of his descendants that they should be poor. And the Rebbe of Zisha Davin, his children and grandchildren should be rich. And as always given, that the Rebbe of Melech's grandchildren are all poor. Now, time, your wife said, hey, Nicole. Anyway, see, well, you're not rich. This is Nishtaisha. Now, the truth is that a number of years ago, in Reb Chaim Tzvi's house, we heard a very interesting story. You think it's the story? We heard a story in your house on Moitah Shabbos Kodesh Parsek Yisisa Shnas Tavshin Samach, 6 years ago, year 2000. We heard on Chof Aleph Adar, it was a Malav Amalka for the Arts of Nevi Melech, and Rabbi Yosef Grossman here of Concord in Muncie told over the following story. He says, I have two Talmidim. And this story happened a few years ago. First, I have a Talmid named Shlomo Gewurz. He used to come up to me to learn in my office every day or so. And then, I didn't hear from him for many months, and he disappeared. Suddenly, one day, he comes up, and he shows me a sefer he and his brother put out in Eretz Yisrael. And I go through the sefer, and I see a family tree from the Shlomo Gewurz. I see the Shlomo Gewurz is an enikel from the Nevi Melech of the Gent. He knows all about him. The next day, says Rabbi Yosef Grossman of Muncie, you can check it out, I learn with a certain Baal Tshuva, his name is Jonathan Blinken, who is the son of a big real estate tycoon, Tish, and Jonathan Blinken asks me if I ever heard of a great Hasidic Rebbe called Rabbi Melech of the Gent. So I asked him why he's interested. He said there was a Mekubal who visited Manhattan, and he told me that I should go home and light two candles, because I, Jonathan Blinken, was told by this Mekubal that I'm a descendant of a Talmud of the Rebbe of Melech, and I should light one candle in memory of the Rebbe of Melech, and I should light one for myself, because I'm a reincarnation of a Talmud of the Rebbe of Melech. So this Jonathan Blinken asked Rabbi Grossman if he knows a lot about Rabbi Melech. He says, I don't know that much about Rabbi Melech of Lezhensk, but I have another fellow, Shlomo Gewurz, who is a descendant of Rabbi Melech, and he just showed me the family tree, and he knows all about him. So I make a shidduch between Shlomo Gewurz and Jonathan Blinken, and Jonathan Blinken, who descends from a Talmud, should speak to Shlomo Gewurz, who is a descendant of Rabbi Melech himself. You with us, Gedalia? So I put them together, and Jonathan calls Shlomo. Shlomo gives all the information. At the end of the call, Shlomo Gewurz asks Jonathan Blinken, by the way, Jonathan, are you rich? strange question. He asks point blank. Jonathan is a little surprised, blunt question. He says, yeah, I'm very comfortable. But why do you ask such a question for? Shlomo Gurat said, I'll tell you why. Because my Zayder Melech put in his tzavah, he davened that all of his Einiklich should not be rich. Because he says, wealth is a tremendous nisayon. He saw what rich people are about with his travels. And therefore, it's Makuyim. The Rebbe Melech's Einiklich are not rich. So I'm not rich. But he also davened that his Talmidim should be rich. So you're a descendant of a Talmud, you're rich. And I'm a descendant of Melech himself, and I'm not rich. So I see that everything that Savo is Chai V'Kayim exactly the way that Rebbe Melech wanted. Now, I'll tell you another story. Again, there's endless, the stories are endless. Endless, the stories, like we could go on forever and ever. And the story is, I'll tell you another story. I'll tell you a few stories, and then we have Yaakov Yitzchak preparing the whole Seder downstairs. We have a big meal downstairs. Don't run away. So this story, Rabbi Rottenberg said over, hear it from a Yid named Chaim Liebler. Hear it from the Yid himself. And as Chaim Liebler said, that he had an uncle who was the Rav in Kalev. We were in Kalev back 2 years ago in Hungary. It's not so far from Budapest. It's right down the road from Budapest. And this Yid, this Rav Chaim Liebler, his uncle was the Rav in Kalev before the Second World War. He had a big yeshiva, but at many Talmidim, and he was called the Be'er Menachem. He was like a famous person. This Rav Chaim Liebler survived the war and told over the following story. That once the Rebbe of Melech was in the mikveh with another man, and they were at the same time they were together, and some say this happened during the 9 years that Rebbe Melech was in exile. He was in Galus, self-imposed Galus. Suddenly, a basko went out and proclaimed, "The Rebbe of Shmelke of Nikolsburg is in big trouble with his kila," because everyone knows the Rebbe of Shmelke was a great Talmud of the Magid of Mizrich, but the Mizrich of Magid sent him and his brother to Western Europe to take care of these lost Jews who were being destroyed by Haskalah, Enlightenment, and Reform. So the Afla went to Frankfurt, and the Rebbe of Shmelke went to Nikolsburg. Nikolsburg was mamash like it was in Moravia. People were really starting to go to the Derech. So the Baskel said the Rebbe of Shmelke is having a big trouble. His Kehillah is not listening to him. They want to throw off Torah. They want to change. They want to be reformed. Whoever is going to help the Rebbe of Shmelke will have a big mitzvah and a big reward. So the Rebbe Melech in the mikveh turns to the other Yid and says, "Did you hear something?" He says, "Well, I didn't hear anything." So Rebbe Melech says, "You know, if I heard it and he didn't, the simon that I better do something about it." Like the Gemara over there in Tanya's Daf Yutes, where Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa heard a baskol, and Rabbi Yochanan and tell him they should go back to the yeshiva. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Dilf, did you hear something?" Dilf says, "No." Rabbi Yochanan says, "Oh, I heard it, you didn't. It's similar, I better go back to the yeshiva." So Rebbe Melech made a long journey from the Lithia. In his exile, they went all over Eastern Europe. They went to Ukraine, they went to Hungary, but they didn't go to Western Europe. To go from Galicia to Western Europe is a long trip. Rebbe Melech gets to Basco, and he goes all the way to Moravia. And he comes to Nikolsburg. And he asks the Rebbe of Shmelke, his old friend, "Was Herzog?" And the Rebbe of Shmelke says, "The matzav is terrible. The people are singing Mata Mata over here. What are we going to do?" So Rebbe Melech says, "Okay, I have an idea." So he makes believe that he's an itinerant magid. He puts up signs, he's giving a big drush in the shul. The big shul, that night. Now, I really want to give a drush to the ganze Stadt. But who's going to come here, a little magid, especially these people that would rather go to the opera or to the theater than hear a magid? So the first night he didn't get a big crowd. First night I got a small crowd. But he told the Olam, "Rabbi Isai, you know, I heard that in this town we have to make changes and reforms in the rabbi, in rabbinical Judaism, and we have to be modern, and things are changing, it's not the same as the past, it's a new world. And you know what? You like this?" He said, "Yeah, we love it. You want to hear more?" "Yeah." "Well, you know what? It's later, right? Tonight. Come back tomorrow night. Bring your friends. I'm going to give you a drush like you never heard before, how we have to make big changes and big reforms in this town. We're going to turn this town upside down. Wow, the word got out. We finally have an old-fashioned looking maggid. He's going to talk like a modern, up-to-date, progressive man. This is what we want. Next night, the whole shul is packed from late to end to end. And the Rebbe Miller gets up and he starts giving them Musser Ibn the cup. You Schwentz what you are. You lowlifes what you are. You all came to hear about making reforms to throw out the Torah, throw out the mitzvahs, throw out the Rav. You have a Rav like a Malach. Torah is mamish on the Rabbani Shalom. Torah, he gave him a drasha. Torah is the best of Schaira. What Torah is, what the Rebbe of Shmelk is, what it's all about. And you want to reform the Torah and throw out the Torah. You should be ashamed of yourselves. But he spoke with Hanoim and Melech, they get raped. And the island was a Zoyga Hoiben, that at least for a while, they stopped chaplaining the Rebbe of Melech, Rebbe of Shmelke, and they talked to the Tshuva, and it was a Meredik Yiddish Hashem. Meredik Yiddish Hashem. And the whole influence of Rebbe Shmelke was restored. Okay, next day, Rebbe Melech is on the road, leaving Nicholsburg, and he's very happy, he fulfilled the first Basco. He's on the way home, and he hears another Basco. Basco tells him he made such a big Yiddish Hashem, that your reward is that you can give brachas for the next 24 hours, and whatever you say will be mekuyim. Everything. The Melech is so ecstatic. Gevaltik. Tzadik is high dialam. Meitiv, he wants to give brachas. That's the tachlis of the tzadik, to give brachas. The only thing was reitz abrachim. Because there was no yidn around. He's on the road. He's out of Nicholsburg. He was already walking far away. Who's a yidn? I'm looking for yidn. I couldn't find a yidn. Bunch of goyim, derflech, no yidn. What's he gonna do? Finally, he sees a yidna. He sees a lady. She looks like she's dressed like a Yiddish lady, and he starts running after the lady. Lady sees a man's running after her. She keeps her running. The rebbe's running after a lady. Finally, he screams, "I don't want to hurt you. I'm gonna give you a bracha. I'm gonna give you a bracha." So the red lady must have run out of breath, so he catches up with the lady and says, "Lady, I want to give you a bracha, a gevaltige bracha. And the bracha is that everything you do should double and double and double again and again and grow by leaps and bounds." And so it was. The lady comes home. She originally had 5 cows, and right away each cow gave birth to twins. So next year she had 10 cows, 15 cows. Next year the twins gave birth to twins. It was a bumper crop. Every year she grew double what the year before. Before she knew it, she was a gevaltig ashira. She built a shul. She had a kailel. Big baal tzedakah. Gevaltig. That's one part of the story. But there's another connection to the story. And that is that the sequel is that the Rebbe Melech blessed the lady. He starts to walk away from her. And then suddenly she turns and runs after him. Now the lady's running after the rabbi. And she catches up with him and she begs him one more bracha. What's the bracha? The bracha was that after she dies and she's buried, she begged that whenever her children or her enoklach, her descendants, come to her kever, to daven, all their tefillah should be answered by her kever. That's what she wanted, a second bracha. So Rebbe Melech was very happy to grant her wish. Eventually this lady, this happened in Moravia. The lady ends up in Galicia, she's buried in Kishanov, which was a tzanzer in the Kolstadt, and Galicia. And this Reb Chaim Liebler, who tells the story, was a descendant of this woman. And this Reb Chaim Liebler concluded and said, before the Second World War, I was learning in Kalev by this great rabbi, the Be'er Menachem, but we had tragedy in my family. My one younger brother, my brother was only 5 years old, and he was a deaf mute. He was mute. He was mute. Couldn't speak. So he's 5 years old. He couldn't utter one word. Totally mute. And then everybody, parents, it's a brachan. Everybody says, brachan. So I told my parents, you know, we're in the kalach of that woman who was benched by the Rebbe Melech. And she got a bracha that whenever Eindach will come to her tzion, their tefillahs will be answered. So let's go. But my parents didn't want to go because they're in Kalev and it's far away from, you have to go from Hungary through Czechoslovakia to Galicia to Mahalach. Those days it was a longer Mahalach and there's passports and controls and Megatnish does I drink. So they didn't want to go. So I told my parents, says the Chaim Lieber, I volunteered to take my mute brother myself. I got permission from the Rosh Yeshiva, although they're very tough in the yeshivas, they couldn't go away in the middle of his man. I told him, I have to go right now. I got permission from the Ber Menachem. He's buried there in Kalev. I was by his tzi in the Ber Menachem. And got permission. And we traveled to Kshanov in Galicia. And we davened over there. And sure enough, my brother was cured. And my brother, the little Liebler, began to speak. So that's the koyach of the tzaddik Rebbe Melech. And that leads us to one last story, and then we'll have kids. We'll go on the whole night, then we'll tell you some more downstairs. But the last story, and then we have a little kibbut. And it's kedai to push ourselves a little bit. This is just, it's almost as good as being by a tzion. There's thousands of years by a tzion, but you're by the safer of a tzaddik. You know, if you're by the safer of a tzaddik, it's also a tzion. You want to put a kvittl tonight, you want to put a kvittl in a kvittl, you can put the kvittl right here. So if you have a nalim melech, put it in your own. If you don't, make a kvittl, you can put it right into this Naim HaMelech. This is my old one. I have a new one. This is the Altik Naim HaMelech, and I was a bucher yet. And this is a tzion for the tzaddik. You don't think the tzaddik is right here? You don't think it's tremendous nachas ruach that we're sitting here 20 yidden and saying over his Torah? It's gevaltik. So if you'd be in the Zhensk, you wouldn't sleep for 3 days going back and forth. So he has extra couple of minutes. Sinish gefährlich, aber it's a lot cheaper too. So the kids, Zazoy, one last story, and then we'll go down and we'll be in the henna. But you know what? I think we'll go down and tell you the story while we're making a look. Let's go downstairs, Rabbi Isai, tell you the story downstairs. The Zangit, and Zis, and Labadik, and Listik. Okay.